It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but talk about them on the radio. I write about them. I do all I can with sports. Joining me in studio, he is a member of the POU football team. He plays tight end. He wears number 87. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you?
Christian, doing well. School's starting to pick up. Had a late night last night, but trying to survive this morning. So, excited to be here.
Also joining us in studio, he's our new co-host. His name is Seth Bursing. Seth, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, Christian. I'm happy to be here again. I always look forward to doing these shows with you guys. So, yeah, let's do it.
Let's get after it. Okay, the reason we're coming at you a little bit later than we normally would, it's 8:11. We like to start at 8 sharp. I slept in late this morning. I didn't get off to a great start. I'm going to own this one. It's my bad, but we're thankful that you've tuned in. I want to set the scene for you. So, you know when you put a fresh pair of sheets on your bed, you make your bed, all that good stuff. Like, it's the best a bed could feel, correct?
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
That was my situation last night. We put new sheets on the bed, fell asleep. When the alarm went off this morning, I pressed stop. I don't even think I opened my eyes. I pressed stop and then realized that I had things to do today and then went, uh-oh, I'm late. So I did shower because I wasn't going to not do that, but we drove down here, got here in time, and now we're here doing a radio show a little bit late, but like I said, we're glad you are tuned in and listening to us this fine Wednesday morning.
Christian, I just want to say I would do the exact same thing. And you said even no coffee.
Yeah, I didn't have time for the coffee. Couldn't get it.
That's commitment right there.
Yeah. I had to get here.
See, I would do shower. I would coffee up, you know. Right. I can't start my morning without those things.
Seth, are you a coffee guy or not?
No, I hate coffee. I
coffee.
Can't do it.
Can't even do coffee.
Nope. Like, no coffee.
Okay, so like you've been to Starbucks obviously before, right?
Like twice,
like
ever.
Like twice. What did you get at Starbucks, if you can remember?
Oh, geez. I don't even remember. I think I probably had like a Frappuccino once or twice.
You couldn't even do a Frappuccino?
That's somewhat coffee.
But that was about it. Yeah, I can't do
did
coffee.
Did you like the Frappuccino?
It was all right.
Man.
That's a tough deal. I didn't like coffee until... I want to say my sophomore year, I poured a little in my hot chocolate, and then that just slowly started the integration, you know, coffee with creamer, and then finally I just went 100% black with nothing in it. It's because it's cheaper, number one, that's what college is about, and coffee gives you the energy you need, so,
yeah. Short-term energy, but yeah.
So I'm doing it without the coffee, so we'll see how great this show sounds. Seth's always doing it without coffee, and DJ is coffeed up, so we'll see what goes down today. If you like what you're listening to and want to listen to shows in their complete full form, you can do it at massmedia.pou.edu. If you want to do short clips of the show, if you in your car, you hit the Bluetooth button, you go over to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio. You can find all the short clips from our shows right there on Half Athlete Radio. We continue to grow. We're doing great over there on YouTube, so hit us up over there. If you want to call into the show, we're getting ready to talk about the Seahawks and their loss on Sunday. If you want to call into the show and talk about what you think is the most disappointing part of that loss, go ahead and call us, 253-535-7332. Again, our number is 253-535-7332. All right, let's dive into it. The Seattle Seahawks hosted the Washington Redskins on Sunday at CenturyLink Field in Seattle. It was the road team that came out on top. The Redskins took a 17-14 win over the Seahawks, and there are several levels to the loss that makes this a disappointing loss, probably the most disappointing loss of the 2017 season.
For sure.
Blair Walsh missed three field goals in the first half. The Seahawks failed to convert two-point conversions. The Seahawks were charged with 16 penalties that cost them 138 yards. The Seahawks had a lead 14-10 when the Redskins got the ball with 59 seconds left, and Kirk Cousins took the Redskins four plays. He went 70 yards, and it was a touchdown. So.
Oh my goodness!
Bring that back. It's never leaving. So let's talk about a pick. What are you most disappointed with, Seth, DJ, anybody? Go for it.
You know, Seahawks beat themselves. If you look at the stats here, we got 437. We outgained them 437 yards, 244. Our defense, for the most part, you know, played rock solid until that very last, you know, I would say, was that a minute and a half that we gave the Redskins? But, you know, we time of possession-wise, we beat them too. If you look at every stat points to the Hawks winning, except for, you know, penalties. We had 16 penalties for 138 yards. That's going to be a tough way to pull out a win when you have 16 penalties because you're just beating yourselves so many times. So
going with the penalties, Seth, what were you most sour at?
Once again, I'd have to go with the penalties, just the sheer volume of penalties. And at home, you should not be committing that many penalties. I believe 10 of their penalties were on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's unacceptable when you're playing in your own stadium.
We need to spend some time discussing Blair Walsh and his activities. I think coming into Sunday's game, he was like 12 of 13 on the year, which is a pretty solid year for anyone to miss one kick coming in, you know.
Yeah.
But he did miss three field goals in the first half, and that, you know, do the math, that leaves 9 points on the board, and when your team loses by three, people are going to be frustrated at
even if you hit just one, it's going to go into overtime, you know. And
right, in theory, I mean, it's or you could score one of those touchdowns, kick an extra point, and then convert one of those 2-point conversions you missed and go into overtime. Mm-hmm. But there's
many possibilities,
several different ways to score points. But let's talk about Blair Walsh right now. Do the Seahawks need to make a change? Is it like, there anyone better? Like, what do they do at kicker?
You just got to stick with Blair Walsh. Like you said, he's been 12 for 13 up until this point. You know, you could point to the elements as one reason why he did miss those. That's kind of an easy cop-out, in my opinion, because if you're a kicker in the NFL, you should be able to kick, you know, whatever the circumstances. But it just seems like those elements did affect him. He was over-committing to the ball, and every one he missed, he hooked it to the left.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that could be just a matter of inches in his approach. So, you know, I think this one got chalked up to the circumstances. I think he let it get in his head too much. But, he was 12 for 13. He'll come back. He'll return even stronger.
How do you fix a head case like that? Can you? Or is it over?
That's a good point.
No, he's got to fix that himself. I don't think there's much you can do to. You can't coach a player's mindset.
Can
you not?
It takes time. It takes time. But Blair Walsh is a veteran. I mean, he's been in the league for a while, so I'm sure he's had days. I can't recall off the top of my head, with the exception of when he missed that field goal for Minnesota. But I'm sure he's had days like this. I think we got to give him, you know, a couple of more games. If he has another game like this, that's a cause for concern. But until we see another day, then, I mean, we got to stick with him. There's really, I can't think of any better option out there on the free agent market.
Yeah, I don't know a solution. Like you said, I think sticking with Blair Walsh is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was a tough day, a tough pill to swallow for Seahawks fans. Talk about the 2-point conversions. They missed two of them.
Yeah.
The first one was the most exciting play across every level of sport ever when they ran that. The Seahawks ran a 1-yard slant or whatever it was, very reminiscent of the Super Bowl they lost to the Patriots where, I don't even know, was it Norman who jumped in front and picked it off?
Butler.
Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, but on Sunday, I think it was Josh Norman, correct? I don't know. Call in 253-535-7332. Anyway, a Redskin picks it off, and they had the opportunity to go the length of the field and add on 2 points to their score because you could do that. And with nothing to lose, the Redskins are pitching the ball back all over the place. I was freaking out. I thought it was great. I was so entertained. I wanted them to play. I want football to be played like that all the time, but that would be rugby then, I guess, so I should start watching rugby.
I mean, yeah, it was...
Anyway,
it was,
they missed that one, and then they... Didn't mean to cut you off, DJ.
No, you're good.
And then the other one that they missed was the Jimmy Graham, a pass to Jimmy Graham, went literally right through his hands.
Yes.
That's 4 points. You win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is that being overlooked as far as people talk about Blair Walsh missed a 3 field goal? Well, you left 4 points on the board. The team as a whole left 13 points on the board.
Yeah, it all goes back to the fact that we beat ourselves. Even on the 2-point plays, Jimmy Graham has been inconsistent with catching the ball this year, and that's been a problem. Then on the 2-point play that you were talking about, Christian, that I was freaking out too. I was hoping, you know, they're running that back, and I'm just like sitting there on my couch. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me! Like this, they're gonna go ahead 2 more points. I think at that point it was I actually don't remember the score, but anyways, that 2 plays that they would have scored, 2 points that they would have scored, would have been huge in their momentum, and I think the loss would have been even worse if in fact they did get those 2 points.
I'm actually going to put more of this loss on the offense as a whole than just Blair Walsh, because the whole first half, the Seahawks were dominating field position-wise. We were at the 35, 40-yard line seemingly every possession that half, and they didn't score at all. How does that happen if you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback, who's supposed to be top 10 quarterback? You've got Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham, you've got all the weapons that you could ask for, and you can't even score a field goal.
Yeah.
No less any touchdowns.
Yeah.
We also got to give credit to where credit is due. I mean, the Redskins came in with 4 of their 5 starters on the offensive line out, and they were able to, I mean, they didn't quite get their rushing game going, but Kirk Cousins made the plays that needed to be made. He stood in the pocket a couple times there and just got, you know, pummeled. One being a roughing the passer that kind of was big down the stretch in the fourth quarter. But he stood in and he made the throws necessary. And that throw to, I believe it was Dotson on the sideline where he went full extendo and caught that ball. I mean, they made the plays that they needed to make, because Seattle is not a tough not an easy place to win.
There it is. Yes.
It. Yeah.
Well, where is an easy place to play in the NFL, DJ?
Cleveland.
Said 3rd week in a row.
I
call it about. I get hate tweets over DJ saying everywhere's
that,
a hard place
and that,
to play.
And that's fine. I've said it before. I believe there's no easy place to win in the NFL.
What about Cleveland?
Still in Cleveland, like you have all of these professional athletes. The NFL is the cream of the crop. Even if you're a bad NFL player, like, oh, like this guy sucks. But really, when you think about it, we're not going to be. The average Joe is not going to be better than them. They're still going to be leaps and bounds above us in athleticism and things like that. So I'm going to stand by it. There's no easy place to win in the NFL. No matter how many starters are out, whether it's be 5 of your wide receivers, there is no easy place to win in the NFL.
All right, that's fine. Let's get back on track with the Seahawks game.
Sorry.
No, it's all good, dude. It's all good. No easy place to play, even if you're the home team in Seattle, because the Seahawks lost 17-14 against the Redskins. On Sunday, we're still talking about it. Kirk Cousins led a 4-play, 70-yard drive that scored a touchdown, which ended up being for the win. Our buddy Kellen Westring was mad at the defensive scheme on Twitter. He was tweeting about how wrong, I guess, it would be to play the defense that the Seahawks played down the stretch. Do you have a problem with the way that they just let, you know, 4 plays go for 70 yards in the fourth quarter and lose the game like that, or what?
I don't personally have a problem with it. To my knowledge, they were in man coverage on that big play that Shaq Griffin gave up, and that could be, you know, just a rookie mistake there. You're matched up with a pretty good, pretty fast wide receiver in Dotson.
Yeah, that big chunk play down the left sideline,
yep,
where he made like a diving, like you talked about, a diving grab, but then,
yep,
Griffin didn't touch him right away.
Uh-huh. And he
kind of like rolled almost all the way into the end zone. You got to touch him and be down by contact.
He just flat out outran him.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's, like you said, you gotta jam him a little bit or do something at on the line of scrimmage.
So they should have done something different defensively.
Yes.
Okay, Seth, tell me why.
If you're giving up 70 yards in 4 plays, something's not working. That means the coverage is almost certainly too soft if you're giving them almost 15, 20 yards a play.
There you go. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's another element to be mad at. This is why this is the most disappointing loss of the 2017 season, because everywhere you turn, there's something to be mad at.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you can forgive the 3 missed field goals or the 2-point conversions, well, they blew it in the last minute of the game.
Yeah.
They hurt themselves for the entire game. I mean, We can come back and talk to this later, which we will. So stick around because we're going to come back to more Seahawks stuff later in today's show. But right now, we got to take a break. When we come back, it's time to talk a little POU sports. Pretty exciting weekend for the Lutes here on the campus of Pacific Lutheran University. So don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Lute Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Yes, that is the Mariners theme song, and, you know, we're still going to play it because we missed the Mariners already. anyways, welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Lute Air Student Radio. My name is DJ Winter, number 87 on the field, football team, doing great things out there. I'm joined by PLU's half athlete, Christian Bond. He doesn't play sports anymore, but, you know, he writes about them and writes pretty dang well, in my opinion.
Thank you, so kind.
There's a new Half Athlete Tries going to get ready to come out here in a little bit, isn't there?
That's another reason why you need to subscribe to the YouTube page. Yeah, I think we're doing the shoot tomorrow, and maybe sometime next week we'll drop a Half Athlete Tries Football.
Yeah, if you want to check that out, you can check out our YouTube page, Half Athlete Radio. Our other co-host, his name is Seth Bershing. He, like Christian, is also a half athlete. If you like what you're listening to and want to hear us again, log on to massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu. We put it out last week. If we reach 100 subscribers, we'll do another bonus show. 70 was the mark before, and we got to that, and we are still rising as we speak.
We're up to 78.
Hey, there we go.
Getting closer.
Please call into the show. We are dying to hear from our viewers. We love talking to you, or listeners. My fault. 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332. Exciting weekend in Lute sports. Football probably got its biggest, actually no doubt, biggest win of the year against George Fox this weekend. George Fox was ranked 21st in the nation, but not anymore thanks to the football team. We beat them 13-3. You know, exciting game. The little bro, Brady Winter, had eight catches for 92 yards. It was only 92, it wasn't 96, which is what I had earlier in the year, but he had a great game.
What? What? Okay, hold on, we're going to stop everything real quick, because I was going to mention, you know, Seth, there it is. There's the little brother players right there. Little brother praise, like, happy for Brady.
Yes.
Not even a little bit, because he goes back to a game that happened earlier in the year and says, I had more one game. What is this?
Hey, you know, it's just that competitive spirit.
Is it, though?
Yeah. Me and Brady both have this competitive thing where it both pushes us to be better. You know, let's get back to the team. PLU won 13-3. Seth, Christian, any thoughts on that?
I do have to ask, just looking at the box score, what happened to make there be 7 turnovers in the game?
We threw 2 picks, fumbled once. Both of the picks were kind of, one pick was on 4th down. It was in the double coverage. We were just trying to get something because we needed to pick up the 4th down. The other one was a 3rd down conversion in the second half. Things were kind of tightening up, and so we kind of forced it in there too. Then the fumble was just, it was just a fumble. I have no response for that. But as for George Fox, our defense played lights out on Saturday.
Yeah,
they shut the Bruins down. Really, that 3 points, they had a big kickoff return to start the game out, and they went 3 and out. They were 1 for 12 on 3rd down.
Yes.
So
I mean, that's, you said all right there. Also, POU made a change at the kicking position. Alex Brost or Brost? Brost?
Brost.
Alex Brost had the kicking duties this week for the Lutes. He made all of his kicks. He had an extra point try that went through, and then he made 2 field goals. While on the other side, George Fox missed a pair of field goals. I mean, that was the difference of the game. We talked about field goals earlier with Blair Walsh. Alex Brost picks up the extra points for the Lutes, and There it is. Big win for POU.
And speaking of that, Brost also was the Northwest Conference Special Teamer of the Week.
Excellent.
Earning that honor after making, you know, those big-time field goals and the extra point. So, hey, props to him.
Yeah. Let's move on to POU women's soccer. POU went to George Fox on Saturday morning. The Lutes beat the Bruins 1-0 from a goal on a goal from Kaylee Roselle. And then on Sunday, the Lutes played Lewis and Clark and tied 0-0. And Lewis and Clark has not done well all year long, so to tie right there was kind of confusing. But POU played 22 players throughout that game, including a completely different starting lineup. So a chance there for head coach Seth Spidall to get a different group of girls into the game, and he did so. And it ended up in a double overtime tie, but it was good for the Lutes because they're heading to Thousand Oaks, California.
Hey.
Where California Lutheran will host a regional tournament. POU plays Whittier in round one on Saturday at 8 p.m., and then they will follow that up with a game on Sunday when they go ahead and they beat Whittier.
Hey.
So,
okay.
Exciting things for the POU women's soccer team. Keep up with all of that action on golutes.com because they're in the NCAA tournament, and they seriously have a chance to go very, very deep in this thing because of how talented and how good this women's soccer team is. So good things happening for POU women's soccer. Seth, you want to tell us about a little bit of volleyball action?
Sure, Christian. So they played a couple matches this last week. They took down Puget Sound and George Fox, sweeping both matches 3-0, pushing their conference record to 14-2 on the year, overall record at 20-4, and I believe they're locked up for first place too here now, right?
Yeah, they have won the conference, and the win on Wednesday night against Puget Sound gave them an automatic bid into the NCAA tournament, so they were cruising into the weekend, and then the selection show happened on Monday. POU is heading to Georgetown, Texas, where Southwest will hold the regional. POU plays Trinity, Texas in the first round on Friday at 10:30 a.m., so wake up and watch the Lutes on Friday. Another team that has a really good chance, if all things go right, to make another deep run. I mean, they played Trinity last year. They're familiar with Trinity. They also played Southwest last year, and I think that could be one of the teams they get if their bracket. I don't know if the bracket in front of me,
but
it could be one of the teams that they get. Mm-hmm. So another team that has a very good chance of going deep. So exciting things for POU women's soccer and volleyball.
Heading to the pitch for the men's soccer team. They just had one game this weekend. It was against Puget Sound, you know, those crosstown rivals that we like to, you know, dominate usually. But anyways, we ended up Puget Sound 1-0 over PLU, which was kind of set up, you know, a bittersweet moment. We tied for the conference win. So technically we did win the conference, but due to a tiebreaker, to my understanding, Willamette gets the automatic bid. Mm-hmm. So kind of disappointing, even though we did share the tie for the conference. Overall, though, you know, exciting weekend for the Lutes. Like I said, three teams won the conference. So
yeah,
good momentum to build on for next fall.
Three fall teams win Northwest Conference titles. Brad Hodkinson is once again the men's runner of the year for cross country. Is going to go on, probably do very well in regionals, and then go on and compete and again do very well at nationals. So
that dude is a beast, man.
He is
wild. I have no idea how he does it.
Well,
because for me, running is not fun, and somehow he finds a way to do it year in and year out. And you know, I'm excited to see what he can do at nationals.
Yeah, that loss that the POU men's soccer team had to Puget Sound really set up legitimately the only situation that could happen for them to not get a chance to keep playing, and it did.
It's so frustrating when it gets to, you know, the last game of the season and it's so close within your grasps, and it just you know, falls out from underneath.
Well, and then what happens is you go back to, you know, a game that happened in September and mm-hmm. go, whoa, we lost to Whitman for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we? And now you're not playing anymore because of something that happened. Wait, like every game matters all the time. So
yep. Very
it's
true.
Just, yeah, tough break for the men's soccer team, and we definitely feel for them.
Yes, very, very true. And, you know, I know that they only graduated two seniors, but those two seniors are, you know, pretty big in their success, Eddie Na and Bennett Bugby. Like we said last week, Eddie Na had the goal record, I believe, scoring over 50 goals. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be interesting to see how they replace those two key starters.
It will be very, very interesting. All right, let's hit another break real quick. When we come back, we're gonna add on to our Seahawks talk. We'll come back around. We'll maybe pick something that we're most disappointed by from that loss to the Redskins, and look forward, because the Seahawks play already tomorrow night, and they have Thursday night football this week. So we got to talk about them. All right, don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's Half Athlete, joined by our new co-host. His name is Seth Bershing, also joined in studio by a tight end for the POU football program in DJ Winter.
Yep.
If you like what you're listening to and you want to hear it in full form, if you want to hear every show we've ever done in its full, in its entirety, you can do that at massmedia.pou.edu. Again, that's massmedia.pou.edu. Check out our YouTube page. We are growing our YouTube page all the time. We're up to 78 subscribers. We'd love to get to 100. Type in Half Athlete Radio in the search bar, and you'll find us there. Could be some more video content coming out soon on the Half Athlete Radio page, so be sure to subscribe to that.
So just rumors right now.
Rumors and innuendo would suggest that there could be something on the horizon, but I'm not going to say that.
Let me check my sources on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sources, fake news, real news, no one knows. If you want to call into the show, talk a little Seahawks, because that's what we're going to do here shortly, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332. All right, tomorrow night, Seahawks back at it again. We talked about their disappointing loss earlier in the show. Tomorrow night, the Seahawks head to Arizona to play the Cardinals on Thursday night first football. First of all, action green uniforms. They're going to be back in them again. We saw them last year. Yes or no on the action green uniforms for the two of you? Do you like them? Do you not like? You don't like them, Seth. Seth's a fun hater. Yeah. Why don't you like them?
It's an eyesore. It hurts.
Okay, DJ, what do you got on the yes or no on the action?
I'm all in on them, man. I love the color rush unis. You don't see this very much in the NFL.
Every team does. Wait a minute. You don't see. Okay,
No. Let me finish my comment. You don't see a lot of jersey variation in the NFL like you do in college. And that's something that is exciting. You know, every week we see, Oregon's going to wear this, Oregon's going to wear that. Like, in the NFL, you know what you're going to get week in and week out. And the color rush is a nice change up to that, nice change of pace. Okay. Very, very bright, very vibrant, exciting.
I got beef with any team that thinks color rush is an all-white uniform.
Yeah, like Packers.
White is the absence of color, therefore not a color rush jersey.
So are you making a case for the color rush jerseys?
Yes, but I want the Packers to be wearing yellow. I want the Vikings to be wearing purple. I want the Bears to be wearing either blue or orange. Don't care about the Bears. Whatever they want to wear. If they come out in white, it's like, what are you doing, dude?
Vikings are purple.
Well, I haven't seen all of them.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you know, whoever comes out in just a white color rush uniform, you're dumb. Stop it.
Yeah.
Wear your accent color.
I agree.
So that's our stance on the color rush uniforms. Seth, not a fan. Everyone else, yeah, they work for us. We talked about the Seahawks loss to the Redskins, and that made tomorrow night's game significantly more important, in my opinion, because the Los Angeles Rams lead the NFC West at 6-2. Seahawks follow at 5-2. Cardinals are 4-4, and the San Francisco 49ers are 0-9, so they're out of it. But, you know, Cardinals get a win tomorrow night. Seahawks 5-3. That's my bad. Seahawks are 5-3, correct?
What'd you say?
I had 5-2 written down. That was my bad.
No, you're good.
We'll do the NFC standings again. Los Angeles Rams 6-2. Seahawks 5-3. Cardinals 4-4.
That's a nice thing about
football.
And
the San Francisco 49ers are 0-9. Cardinals pick up a win. They are 5-4. Seahawks lose. They are 5-4. And the Rams creep further and further away. So the Seahawks need to come out and win tomorrow night. What do you guys think?
Huge game for the Hawks. Wild card standings-wise and just to keep pace in the division. The Rams, they have looked good, but I'm still not a believer of their success. I believe the Hawks are tied right now for a wild card position. Everybody is like 5-3. They're right, you know, kind of jumbled up. So big game for them. If they win, they'll kind of take a step in the right direction towards kind of separating themselves, hopefully.
Well, the Seahawks have struggled in Arizona the last couple years, but they are playing against a backup quarterback, so it's definitely a should-win game. Not necessarily a must-win, but definitely a should-win.
So you talk about that backup quarterback. Last weekend, the Arizona Cardinals used Adrian Peterson, who they acquired earlier in the year from the Saints. Adrian Peterson had 37 carries and went for 159 yards. It happened against the San Francisco 49ers, but as Seahawks fans or people observing the Seahawks, should we be a little bit concerned about what Adrian Peterson has the potential of doing against this defense? I mean, what should your thoughts be when you see 37 carries for 159 yards?
Well, I doubt he's going to have nearly that many carries against Seattle simply because the Seahawks should be leading most of that game. Arizona's going to have to pass the ball more. But also, I think Arizona's still near the bottom of the league in rushing offense.
Right, but if they picked him up halfway through the year,
but even
then that
so,
would make sense.
Even so, he only had 20, 30 rushing yards the week before that.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are going to try to establish that run game because they have a backup quarterback. And if Adrian Peterson does, in fact, get up to that 30 carry, 150-yard-plus range, the Hawks are in trouble. That is a bad sign in that game. So in order to... I guess one of my keys for the game is to stop Adrian Peterson because that I think the Cardinals become very one-dimensional because of that backup quarterback.
Yeah, and another factor of it is the short week, the really short week. Going 37 carries on Sunday and then trying to play again on Thursday night. Like, I don't even want to work out 2 days in a row, and this dude's going to play two football games in 5 days in a row. I mean, that's like that alone probably shouldn't. We shouldn't see nearly those type of numbers, and then add in that Seahawk defense and things like that. So it should be interesting to watch how this one plays out.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the Seahawk offense. I think that they were dormant, absent. Any word you can say for non-existent? That's what they were against the Redskins. Realistically, what do you need to see out of the Seahawk offense against the Arizona Cardinals?
Oh man, I don't even. Just better. I think that's just the answer I come up with. They were kind of starting to gel a little bit on that offensive line, but then they moved Reese Adiombo out of there, and then they put Dwayne Brown in there. They've been constantly changing that offensive line, and when you don't work together, you can't develop that continuity that you need. As an offensive line, you need five as one. So I think another week just under their belt with Dwayne Brown at left tackle will help that case.
Seth, what do you need to see out of the Seahawk offense this tomorrow night, actually, against the Cardinals?
Well, they need to finish their drives better. They get momentum going. They pick up a couple first downs, but then they tend to stall out near midfield and end up having to punt the ball. I'd like to see them get in the end zone a little more often rather than having to put Walsh in the situation where he's kicking three or four times a night. But I also want to see them run the ball better. Their leading rusher right now is Russell Wilson with just 271 yards. Their leading running back rusher is still Chris Carson, who's been on injured reserve for the last, five, 6 weeks now?
Been out for like a month.
A while. He's been gone for a while. I think something that might be a little overlooked from last weekend, the commentators were talking about how the Seahawks were going to try and get Eddie Lacy the ball, and it's something we saw a ton in the first quarter of that game until Lacy got hurt and left. And I think that might be a little bit of a reason why they were so bad last week offensively, is they were so focused on growing that rushing game. I mean, if they worked on it all week and then all of a sudden had to go, oh, we can't do what we want to do anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's got a plan until the plan's not going to work anymore. So I think that's what we saw
wow.
a lot of.
That's coaches talk right there.
Yeah, you like my coaches speak?
I always hear that from Scott.
Everyone has a plan until the plan doesn't work? Is that a Scottism?
Yeah.
Did I just do that?
Yeah.
I haven't talked and to another, Scott.
Yeah, oh, well, I mean, gosh. Something that kind of goes along that line is the crazy thing about football is it's unexpected. That's his, you know, one-liner that, God, he, I probably that he always
I shouldn't even get to talk for the rest of the show if I just pulled the Scottism out without even knowing it. Oh, my goodness. I am so sorry.
It's not a bad thing. I mean, it is true. Like, you know,
if they were working on it all week and then they didn't get to do it for three quarters of that game, it would make sense that.
It's like going into a test. You have all the answers in front of you, and you're studying for those answers, and then you get something completely different on the test, which is something, you know, messed up profs try to do to you.
Yeah, but it's
like,
not fair.
Yeah, it's like that. But
so, I don't know. I don't need to see him run the ball as far as the Seahawks are concerned. I need to see him pass the ball and score touchdowns because I think that's what they're more suited to do. And to spend time trying to build a running game. Like, why? Why not just be really, 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 really good at one thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, they're focusing on trying to get Eddie Lacy the ball and establish that running game. Rawls was named the starter for this week. Pete Carroll, I think, did that yesterday. So maybe they are focusing more on that and having Rawls as the featured back. Whether that's good or not, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, big game, Colorless Unis, very cool.
You got anything to add, Seth? This one got off the rails real quick.
My only thing to add onto your point, Christian, is if you're game planning around Eddie Lacy, you're trying to lose a game.
Jeez, he's bringing the heat today. Eddie Lacy hater. He looked okay through the first quarter of that game until he got hurt. Are you mad at what he did? I didn't see him get hit and fall down like someone on this show accused him of doing.
He broke a couple of tackles. On a weekly basis, he's fallen over at the first defender he meets every time.
That's not true. Go back and watch that first quarter. He was running harder than he had in the past.
Yeah,
maybe in the past he'd done that, but he was running a little bit harder this week, and he got hurt. He's such a physical runner,
he's not supposed to be getting injured.
That's true.
What do you mean if he's not? If he's such a physical runner,
he's supposed to be a Marshawn Lynch type back who just bruises defenders, takes hits. He's not supposed to be a guy who goes in there, gets injured, first quarter.
Well, if you're
Marshawn Lynch is like a Hall of Famer.
If you're running into contact, aren't you increasing the likelihood that you do get hurt?
Did Marshawn Lynch ever get injured?
Everybody compares Eddie Lacy to Marshawn Lynch. Why? They're not the same person.
They aren't the same.
But they're the same style, though.
Same style, but Marshawn Lynch, man, that dude had... He had something else. He had a fifth gear, or I don't know what it was, but he was he's about that action, boss.
All right, we got to get the hell out of here. We got to get out of here. Okay, DJ has been begging to talk about the University of Washington Huskies football team.
Woo!
And we're going to do it. We're going to extend our time on the UW football program. We're going to get to it when we come back from break, so don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative. It's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. I'm joined by Christian Bond, Half Athlete. Am I good?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my fault.
I was fist pumping because that's my name.
Oh.
I'm excited about me.
All right, well, while Christian is celebrating himself, we'll continue. We have another co-host. His name is Seth Bershing, another Half Athlete. If you like what you're listening to and want to hear what we got to say about the UW Husky football team, log on to massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu. Go check out our YouTube page. It's Half Athlete Radio. We're up to 78 subscribers, you said, Christian?
Yes, 78.
Hey.
In there.
So we only got, that is 22 more until 100 subscribers for our bonus show.
Tell your friends.
Yeah, we put all of our content on there from the show, and we also got Half Athlete Tries, which my sources are texting in right now. I think some new video content is coming on that, like we've been saying all show.
Ooh.
If you want to call in and talk Huskies, please do it. It's 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332.
Get into it.
All right.
DJ's been begging for this all show long.
Yeah.
Off air. So yeah. Let's have it, DJ.
Yes. The Huskies are a strong passion of mine. And in my...
Since when? Since like 2014?
Ooh. No. Hey, I was with them when they went, what was it, 0-12?
Yeah.
And
I don't remember.
Okay. Whatever year that was, they were 0-12 and they were struggling. They were in the doghouse. And, you know, I've stuck with them.
Doghouse.
I've stuck with them. And now they're seeing success. So my passion grows that much more.
Okay.
What'd
they do last weekend?
Anyways, last weekend they played an Oregon team who was very hyped in the first couple weeks of the college football season. And, you know, it was a little scary seeing Oregon go down on that first drive and get 3 points. They really had their way. But after that, the Dogs really shut them down. That number one defense now in the nation. I know they haven't played anybody, but, you know, stats are stats. You can't argue with them. They really shut them down, and kind of the offense kind of cruised. Dante Pettis set the record for punt returns in a career with 9. He broke Wes Welker's record, if I'm correct. But anyways, they cruised to a 38-3 win, and the college football playoff rankings just came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. And UW is now ranked 9th. They jumped 3 spots. So I just want to get your guys' thoughts. You know, now that they're ranked 9th, they got a big one down in Palo Alto on Friday. Then they come up and host Utah and Wazoo to close out the season and hopefully the Pac-12 championship. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Is there enough there to get them in the college football playoff?
Seth, go ahead. Go ahead, Seth. Talk to him.
Maybe. I'd say... they can get to 5 or 6 pretty easily. They're going to have to catch a break or two for them to jump into that top 4.
Yeah.
It worked out really well for them this week that 9 ranked teams lost, including 3 teams who were ahead of us.
Nice. And they moved up 3 spots. Whoa, that's weird.
Right.
Whoa.
So, I mean, some of these top teams are going to play each other, like Georgia and Alabama, but... neither of those teams has a loss yet, so even the loser of that team still probably ahead of the Huskies. So I don't know if there's enough there for the Huskies to be able to jump 5 more teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that by their own doing, no, the Huskies will not make the college football playoffs.
Okay.
Like Seth said, with some help, maybe. I think my biggest takeaway from the weekend was how unimpressive the Oregon offense was. Any team that plans on running side to side and just being a better athlete than the other guy on the other side of the field, like, that's not even remotely impressive
as
far as an
offensive. They used to be able to get away with that.
They can't. They're not. I mean, that's just relying that your guys are going to be better athletes than the other guy. There's nothing scheme-wise there.
Mm-hmm.
Just hoping that guy's faster than the other guy that's trying to tackle. Like, that's not... it's very unimpressive in my book, and that's... I'm glad they lost 38-3 because it was garbage. But yeah, I don't know. Huskies, they shot themselves in the foot with the loss to Arizona State. I think that maybe it may be beyond repair. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I sit, my thought process with it. It's just kind of that loss screwed them up beyond repair.
Yeah. You know, you can make a strong case for that. I like Seth's point of they do have to have some help to get in. Right now, as I see, Notre Dame has 1 loss, Clemson has 1 loss, Oklahoma has 1 loss, TCU has 1 loss.
These are all teams ahead of them?
Yes. So these are all 1 loss teams ahead of them. Then Washington kind of sits in the back of the pack. They sit right there, 8th and 9th. So, you know, Seth mentioned Georgia and Alabama got to play in the SEC championship. Notre Dame's got a big one against Miami this weekend, so one of those teams is going to go down. Also, Oklahoma and TCU play this weekend, so I see the Dogs jumping another 2 spots to 7th. Anyway, you shake it with 2 of those teams ahead of them losing.
I got to catch up to Jacob.
I got to cut you off, DJ, because we have a caller.
Oh,
this
sweet.
Is Thomas from off campus. Thomas, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call in and congratulate UW on beating Oregon's freshman backup quarterback, which is probably the reason they were running side to side, because their guy can't actually throw the ball. And then I wanted to weigh in on UW making the playoff. I think that what it really is going to come down to is not what UW does, but what USC does. If USC continues to go shooting up the rankings and UW gets the honor of beating them in the Pac-12 championship game, I think UW will end up making the playoff. If UW doesn't get to play a USC team that wins out or loses to USC, obviously they're done. But
so again,
I think there's still a little bit of controlling their own destiny for UW right now. But it does come down to them being able to play USC, which will have hopefully won out, and USC will continue climbing the BCS replacement system rankings with their schedule, which I believe is in the top 15, their strength of schedule, top 15 in the nation. So, yeah, if USC wins out, UW gets to play them in the title game and beats them, then, yeah, they're in the playoffs.
How does UW control their own destiny if they're dependent on USC winning out and getting to play them in the Pac-12 championship?
Because they'll actually get to win a game and then have that make a difference, as opposed to hoping that all the other teams in the nation lose and then them get in.
They've won 8 games. What do you mean by win a game?
That win the game, the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah. The USC. Game, okay.
That's the big game for them.
All right.
Thomas, I appreciate the call. I couldn't agree with you more.
Thomas, thank you for listening. We will talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
I like his point there. I mean, that USC Pac-12 championship game is going to be huge. And then the game before that, the Apple Cup, I kind of hope, you know, Wazoo wins out as well. I know that's a little more to ask, but if they keep winning, then that's going to set up a duo of two possibly. If Wazoo keeps winning, they'll be in the top 15. So two top 15 wins at the end of the season, that could really bolster their status for that college football ranking committee.
I just don't like that we're sitting here talking about other teams have to win out for the Huskies to have a chance to like why are we at this point? It's frustrating
just
because we're at this point, like, oh, so-and-so needs to win out, and then they can play so-and-so, and then they can beat so-and-so, and then they have a chance to finish, like, fourth or fifth, and then get beat. Like, come on. This is
Is
what it is.
In that range from, like, 7 to 12, any of those, I think any of those, you can make a case for any of those teams. If A and B is to happen, then, you know, UW just needs to keep handling their... Your crap. it just needs to keep handling business in order to get in that college football ranking committee's eye.
Seth, you have anything to add on to this? Because I'm...
My only concern is it a guarantee that UW gets in if they're a one-loss team as opposed to, say, a two-loss team from one of the other...
No,
Power
none of it's a guarantee.
Conferences.
All we're doing is sitting here wondering, like, oh, what if? Like, this is just... Whatever, dude. It's not.
I think that would be a travesty if they put a two-loss team ahead of Washington for the college football playoff. Because, I mean, just looking at that, basically, you can't put a two-loss team ahead of a one-loss team, even if their strength of schedule is worse. They have played their way into that playoff.
Is it the goal to get the four best teams in the playoffs?
That's supposed to be the goal, yeah.
So then... A two-loss team getting in over a one-loss team, like, isn't that far-fetched?
I just have a hard time. I just have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
Everyone has a hard time with it. This is why... Let's go on a sidebar here. This is why the college football playoffs should stay at four and should always be four. Because if we open this up to 8 teams... We're not even nearly talking about it because we know the Huskies are going to get in at some point. I mean, this is why it needs to stay at four, because it is special when a team makes it.
It is very special.
When you bump it up to 8, it's so much less special that it's just a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have any comments concerning that, but I do think there's positives and negatives to both sides.
That's all I gotta say about that.
Like, obviously, that's why I brought it up. Like, yeah, of course, there's positives.
Maybe that could be a topic we discuss in a later show.
Yeah,
maybe a bonus show material.
You're right, because we got to get out of here because we're at the end of our time. I'm gonna be late to relaxation techniques, so we gotta wrap this thing up. Listen to Laser all week long. Hope you listen to What's the Big Deal with Dylan Foreman, Sarah Cornell Meyer, and Zach Goff last night. It happens on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. So right when you're getting ready to fall asleep in the evening, check them out. Listen to them. They're pretty entertaining. Then on Fridays, more football. We pounded football today. We got to get away from it next week probably. But we pounded football. HNC Sports on 10:30 a.m. on Laser on Fridays. They also pound football. Tyna Liu and Carson Barnett, two football guys here at POU, and they love to talk about it. So for DJ Winter and Seth Bershing, my name is Christian Bond. We are out of here. See ya.